Well, sir, by Virginia Avenue standards, it's quite late in the evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. The courthouse clock struck 10:30 a minute or two ago. Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Ash Gook, are in the living room, occupied with sewing and reading, respectively. And at length, the former remarks,
"Lodge meeting's dragging out a good long time tonight."
"Yes.
It's getting on for 11 o'clock.
I wouldn't be surprised if what lodge meeting's finished and the fellas stroll over to the Greeks to drink coffee and talk. They get discussing stuff and lose track of the minutes."
"Well, this lady's going up to her little bed directly."
"Heard myself."
"You like to hear how Sir Lieutenant Stanley outwits a gang of counterfeit and secondhand coat and pants dealers?"
"No, I don't guess so, Willie, thanks."
"Very exciting. Sir Lieutenant Stanley and Lady Margaret are crossing the Sahara Desert, and these counterfeiters..."
"Here's your father."
"Oh.
Burglars?"
"Yeah."
"Might as well lock up while you're there."
"Okay. Milk bottle out?"
"Yes. Somebody better close the dining room windows. Paper states rain tonight."
"I'll do it."
"Don't forget."
"Remind me before I go upstairs."
"You remind your own self. It's your job."
"Oh. By George, Sir Lieutenant Clinton Stanley goes to work and outwits these counterfeiters."
"Where's my lovely wife and beautiful baby boy?"
"What?"
"Where is my loving wife and beautiful baby boy?"
"We're sitting here with our teeth in our mouth. Big, long lodge meeting, hmm?"
"No, not particularly."
"It don't generally last till 10:30, does it?"
"Lodge meeting tonight was shorter than usual. We broke up at 5 minutes till 9.
"Where have you been since then?"
"Sitting in the lobby of the Butterhouse Hotel, holding hands with a bewitching Spanish lady who loves me to distraction."
"That's nice."
"Hello, Rush."
"Hello. You're kind of late saying hello."
"I've been so busy, I just never get around to it before."
"Okay. You want to hear about how Third Lieutenant Stanley outwitted..."
"I should say I don't."
"Suits you, suit me, Mr. Spooner."
"No, kiddo, but I have been sitting in the lobby of the Butterhouse Hotel."
"Yeah?"
"Giving Alf Musherton a lesson in lodge procedure."
"Oh.
He's a candidate for initiation, you know. Needs special tutoring. I put in almost an hour and a half working with him."
"What do you get for your trouble?"
"Well, as the exalted Big Dipper and all, coaching neophytes is more or less in my line of duty. It's a labor of love." And I'm glad to do it." "But in Alf Musherton's case, something of a situation has arisen in the matter of rewarding me for my time and effort."
"Oh?"
"Alf is deeply grateful for the attention I've given him and wants to make it up to me. Alf, as you know, plays cornet in the sewage disposal."
"Hi, George. Sir Lieutenant Stanley and Lady Margaret go
We're
to work."
"Talking, Rush."
"Oh, beg pardon."
"Alf, as I know, what?"
"Plays cornet in a sewage disposal worker's band."
"Yeah."
"Well, he insists on teaching me to play the cornet."
"No."
"Insists on it."
"You wouldn't, would you?"
"Oh, of course not."
"Cornet beginners are as bad as violin beginners when it comes to the horrible noise they make practicing around the house."
"Yeah, but this situation exists, and it threatens to be an embarrassing one. Alf Musherton is determined."
"Determined to teach you to play the cornet?"
"Determined to pay me back in some measure for my time and trouble. Why, say, in the lobby of the Butterhouse Hotel a little while ago, tears come to his eyes."
"Really?"
"Yes, sir, by golly. Gook, he says, you've spent 19 or 20 hours in the last few weeks tutoring me in lodge procedure. I want to show my gratitude. I've thought about it and thought about it, and only can reach one conclusion. Give you free lessons on the cornet."
"Yeah."
"I got no money to buy you a nice present, Gook," he says. "I barely get along on what I make barbering. But I can play cornet. I'd like to give you 20 lessons and not charge you a cent."
"You told him no."
"I told him I appreciated his offer and was deeply touched. But I said the idea of me becoming a cornetist was completely out of the question."
"Well, I should think so."
"Bean blossom, old billiard cue."
"This doggone Third Lieutenant Stanley goes to work."
"Shelves Third Lieutenant Stanley for the moment. How'd you like to learn to play pieces on the cornet?"
"Cornet?
No, no."
"Have you been following our conversation?"
"No. I've been reading about how Third Lieutenant Stanley and Lady..."
"Relegate Third Lieutenant Stanley and Lady Margaret to limbo."
"Limbo?"
"See, Alf means business. All right, he says, if you don't want to take lessons, produce somebody that does. I'll teach your little boy to play the cornet. I'll teach your wife, your father, your mother, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, or your friend. Anybody that's near and dear to you."
"He sounds a little addled in the noodle."
"He's not addled in the noodle. He's a warm-hearted, generous fella. He feels very strongly his obligations to me and is bent on paying them back.
Hmm.
How about it, Polvort? Be interested in learning the cornet?
Not in the least.
A cornetist is popular at parties. A cornetist enchants the pretty girls.
I'm already popular at parties.
Do you also enchant the pretty girls?
I expect I enchant some of them. I probably enchant as many as the next half will. No, Gov, if I was going to learn to yip on a horn, I'd learn to yip on a big horn. I like low notes when it comes to noise. No more low notes on a cornet than there is on a horse.
He's not musical, Vic. You know that. Let's not get started on any wild ideas.
I must dig up a pupil for old Alf Musherton.
Oh, why must you?
Because Alf is resolved to do something nice for me.
Suppose our garbage man, Mr. Gumpox, was interested in playing the cornet. Would your Alf Musherton give him free lessons?
Gladly.
He'd be doing you a favor, huh? Teaching your garbage man to play on the horn.
Yes.
Ish.
I know somebody might possibly be interested, Gov.
Who's that?
Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
I am not interested in Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
Well, you acted like you wanted
say,
to...
Say, how about Uncle Fletcher, say?
Uncle Fletcher?
Yeah.
Teach him to yip on the cornet?
Why not?
Oh.
Well, he's got lots of spare time. Might give him a new interest, a new hobby.
I doubt if Uncle Fletcher's got the wind for it, Gov.
Don't require much wind.
No? Allow me to differ. Leland Richards' father used to play the cornet when they lived in Jackson, Michigan. And the band he was in gave a concert one evening. And when it was over, he found out he lost 15 pounds. Also, his eyes boggled way out of his head. And his hands trembled so he couldn't lift a glass of milk up to his mouth.
He must have blew awful hard.
He warped his half-wit cornet, he blew so hard.
Yeah.
Tubes were twisted around something fierce. Had to take it to the plumber next morning to hammer it back in shape.
Sounds like one of Uncle Fletcher's stories.
Yes, it does.
You mentioned the garbage man a minute ago. Do you imagine he would be interested?
No.
I have to rake up somebody.
Why?
Because I said I would. I promised.
You promised Alf Musherton you'd find somebody for him to give lessons on the cornet to?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Grown up man.
He wouldn't have it any other way.
Ish.
Tears brimmed his eyes, kiddo.
He cries easy.
He don't any such a thing cry easy.
Mm.
He was deeply, deeply grateful for the time and effort that I've expended on him.
Well, believe I'll go to bed.
Gov, how about Ms. Harris's rumor, Mr. Sludge?
How about Ms. Harris's rumor, Mr. Sludge, Rush, my boy?
He might possibly be interested.
Yes.
You talking about crying made me think of it. He does considerable sobbing and weeping.
Well?
If Mr. Sludge does a lot of crying and Alf Musherton does a lot of crying, they'd most likely get along peachy. They could sit and yip on their cornet a while and take time out to sit and cry a while and then yip on their cornet some more and sob and snuffle some more.
Very, very funny.
Well, Chuck.
Very, very, very funny. I believe I have the solution to my problem.
Oh?
Yeah. I believe I have the solution to my problem.
What is it?
Hire Hank Gutstup. Hold your sides with helpless laughter. Pray excuse me as I am tired and wish to go to bed.
What's tell about Hank?
Oh, it's too humorous. Your extreme mirth might injure your nervous system and leave you a permanent weakness.
Yeah.
Rush, do you happen to know the telephone number of the Lazy Hours Pool Hall?
Yeah.
What is it?
8764J.
Thanks.
Gonna get in touch with Hank tonight?
Might as well. Ask him to drop around by the office in the morning.
It's terrible late, ain't it?
Not 11 yet. Lazy Hours Pool Hall don't close till 12. That number again, Charlie?
8764J.
You said hire Hank. Give him a lot of money?
Very little money. Here was my thought. If you think you can listen to it without having hysterics.
Go ahead.
I'll offer to pay Hank 25 cents for every cornet lesson Alf Musherton gives him.
Oh, gee, that's a roundabout way of doing stuff.
Perhaps so, but it is a solution to my present problem. Hank Gutstop will get paid one quarter and be given one lesson. I know him well enough to be absolutely certain that he won't take a second lesson. He'd have neither the patience nor the inclination.
That's true.
Alf Musherton will feel free of his obligation. He'll have done his part, and everybody will be happy.
You'll be out 25 cents.
Be cheaper, triple the price.
Mm-hmm.
That telephone once again, Inner Soul?
8764J.
I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
8764J, please. Correct.
Awful late to be calling.
I apprehend he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
It is his habit, I understand, to linger till they close.
Oh. Don't forget about them dining room windows.
Mm.
Paper states rain tonight.
Okay.
Oh, hello. Say, Hank got stopped hanging around down there. Will you please? Thanks.
Playing bottle pool with some of the guys.
He don't realize he's going to be a musician.
No.
Case of the tail wagging the dog. Instead of paying 25 cents for a cornet lessons, he gets paid 25 cents for a cornet lesson.
Stuff happens, don't it?
Sure does.
Stuff happens.
Hello, Hank? Pick up, Hank.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.